This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On the Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Oh, you tweet your neck again, huh?
Huh?
See, that's because you don't stretch. I know it looks a little gay, but it works.
What? I'm about to go upstairs and give Junior the talk.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Pops, how come you never gave me the talk?
I most certainly did. I mean, what do you think that box of condoms I left in your bedroom was about?
That was it?
Oh, you wanted a hug, too? Son, listen to me. Don't get all caught up in this having open dialogue with your kids' hoopla. It's not natural. Show me one place in the Bible where a kid talks. And for God's sakes, put some shoes on.
ABC's Black-ish has been breaking boundaries since it went on the air in 2014. In form, it's a typical family sitcom. Mom, dad, bunch of kids, friends, wacky neighbors. But in content, it's something else. It tackles the real issues that any black family in America might talk about and deal with. And even today, that's a pretty big deal for a network show in prime time. For one of the stars, Tracee Ellis Ross, the show needed to do something else too. It needed to confront some of the gender stereotypes that are more or less built into that kind of show. Ross was previously a co-star of the comedy Girlfriends, and she sat down with The New Yorker's Doreen St. Felix, a staff writer, at the New Yorker Festival in October.
So I pulled a clip, and it's from Black-ish. Mm-hmm. It's from this episode called Being Bo-Racial, season 3. You know it well. Mm-hmm. I don't want to give too much of it away before we start playing it, but basically your character, Dr. Rainbow Johnson, finds out that her son has a girlfriend.
Yeah.
And Junior is a little bit of a nerd, so it could be good news, but it turns out that Rainbow has been made very upset by it for a pretty conspicuous reason.
A conspicuous reason, and also, I thought, a quite unexpected reason for the kind of woman that Bo Johnson is. Very liberal, a diehard mom, very supportive of her nerdy son, like kind of loves everything about him. So it was, I thought, a really interesting and fun reaction that gave birth to an episode and some subject matter that is not normally talked about on television.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Hey, everything okay?
Yeah, everything's great.
Okay, then why are you chopping onions like a crazy person to mask your tears?
I don't do that.
Ooh, onions. Why are you masking your tears?
Does this have anything to do with Junior's new girlfriend?
What, Junior has a girlfriend? Wow. What a twist.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Is it because she's white?
Dre, you're delusional.
So you do see color.
Dre, that's not who I am.
Or is it who you are? Please let it be who you are. Look, this is something that we could do together as we grow old.
Ew.
You know, some couples, they have golf. We can mistrust white people together. This could save our marriage. Oh, I'm getting so emotional.
So this is a very special episode of Black-ish, and I mean that in the way that term is usually applied. The first reason being that most episodes are usually told from Dre's perspective. Mm-hmm. Dre is played by Anthony Anderson, and he's Rainbow Johnson's husband. But this is the rare episode that has Rainbow
I like narrated. The way you phrased that, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
He's Rainbow's husband. It's usually said that I'm the wife.
This is a feminist talk.
Thank you.
So in that way, I was a little bit shocked. I was like, okay, we're going to be listening to Rainbow's voice as narration. That's good. And anybody who watches Black-ish knows that the show, yes, I know we all do, it often deals with issues of identity politics. You know, there's been episodes on police brutality, the use of the N-word, class issues. But this episode feels more daring.
And one of the things I find really interesting about the show that we don't often talk about, because the show is called Black-ish, so, and it's known that we are talking about race and identity, but the womanist, feminist storyline that is going on for my character is really interesting to me. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that is interesting for me to play is that this is not a character or a woman who is just a wife, who is just a doctor, who is just a mom. She is all of those things. And so I think this story was really interesting to me because we got to take on some of that in a very front-facing way. So the episode itself is called Being Bo-Racial, and we explore Bo's heritage and sort of what she comes from and her relationship to that. And I found it really interesting for many reasons, some of which were that her point of view is not my point of view, and nor has it been my experience. I would not have issue if my child or my brother or my sister or anyone brought home a white girlfriend. But I thought it was a really interesting doorway into this subject matter. Mm-hmm. It was unexpected, and I think it's one of the things our show, the writers do incredibly well, is we usually enter these very big, heavy, sticky subjects from a direction that you wouldn't expect, that you're already kind of toppled on your heels and like, wait, what's happening? You know, the fact that the N-word episode, we entered through the youngest saying it in a rap song, in a talent show.
Gold digger.
Yeah, you know, because it takes the things that have been normalized and kind of throws them on their head. And in this case, you know, that's usually Dre's point of view. That's like something that he would take on. So it was so unexpected that this mother, this the liberal feminist woman that Bo is, would have issue with such a thing. And then you get to, we get to kind of unpack that. And what we unpack, I think, is something that we don't usually unpack in our culture, sort of what it is to apparently be caught between the cultures. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a mixed woman, and it's always been the most extraordinary thing to me to be a part of both cultures. There's a willingness to learn how to articulate things that otherwise I wouldn't need to articulate, how to understand, you know, like the blind spots are clearer.
But do you get frustrated portraying a character who can sometimes, out of nowhere, have a political stance that you might not have? I also read in some other interviews that the police brutality episode...
That was tough for me.
Yeah, so can you tell us about it?
Well, you know, I'm playing a character on the show. That is actually the fun of it. So the police brutality episode, my character was sort of playing the audience's point of view of like, but what if, like devil's advocate, but what if there are great cops or, I don't know, I mean, there are obviously. But like, what if, I can't even remember actually, but it was a point of view that was not mine. I had to keep my mouth shut, and I'm not somebody who keeps my mouth shut. But that was a really interesting opportunity for me to try something different. And the truth is that in hindsight, looking at the episode, it was a very important thing that my kid, that everything wasn't getting said. And I think that's a lot of what happens that is so well done on our show is that we don't say everything. So we actually leave the audience and allow them the opportunity to experience, to think, to have dialogue, to question, and not everything is answered. We're not saying this is the way you should be thinking. But to answer your question, I play a character and that is okay with me. Mm-hmm. There are challenges at times, and what it does is it makes me, as Tracy, have to go back into my world and really figure out and explore how I feel about something so I can figure out what my point of view is so that I can bring something to camera. Mm-hmm. I work very hard to make sure that my character is bringing a full life to that show, to that story and to that family, that even though the stories are told through Dre's eyes, mm-hmm. that every time I am in the story, I know what you can tell what I've been doing when I'm not in the story. Because it's really important to me that I am not wife wallpaper on that show. I don't believe that that's real. And, you know, people are like, it's so modern. Like, your character's like a doctor and a mother and a wife. It's incredible. Like, there's nothing modern about it. Like, we've been doing it forever, kids. Like, you know, so I try to bring that. Or, like, I speak up when it's things like, really?
am I chopping vegetables again? I'm like, look at me doing lady chores. It's really fast. I mean, I say it all the time. I'm like, can't Anthony do the lady chore? You know, and Anthony's always like, yeah, why can't I do, you know, I mean, and mm-hmm. I call it lady chores, obviously, I'm joking, but, because they're not lady chores, they're just things that happen around the house. So I'm very, very conscious about those things, which is a weird segue, but if I may, one of the things that was very interesting to me for how long it had been since a Black woman had been nominated in lead actress in a comedy, both for Emmys and Golden Globes, is if you look back, it's like, what are the roles that we're playing? Mm-hmm. And I believe, and I have seen Black women and women being the leads in our lives all over the place. But that being represented on television, not so much.
Especially in comedy, too. I've always felt there's such a wide gap between the Black women I know in my life.
Yes.
Who are just so funny. Like, my mom is the funniest person I've ever met in my life. Maybe second now that I've met you.
Oh, no, she can take it. She can have it. She can have it. You keep your mom right there.
But there's a way in which when we're slotted into stories on both television and film, the stereotypical space is so tight. It doesn't give you the leeway to be able to do physical comedy, maybe, or to do expressive comedy like you with your face. You're so expressive on the show. And obviously, there have been many Black women in sitcoms. There's a history that we can point to. But Rainbow does feel different.
Well, I'm glad that she feels different. I would like there to be tons more of that. And not just Black women, of all colors, of all shapes, of all sizes. We women are many things. We people are many things. None of us are alike. And I think it is the responsibility of artists to really be sharing humanity and that texture and what that looks like. It's the most interesting part of my life. Mm-hmm. You know, I look at all the different kinds of people that I'm around. And I think, though, that I'm conscious of bringing a fullness to Beau, and I'm conscious of bringing a joy to Beau. You know, even this week, Anthony and I shooting, for some reason, again, there was sort of an argumentative scene. And the director was like, if you could just try it, really sort of just like get in there. And I was like, nah, I don't always want to see that. I don't want to be the arguing wife. And although in the context of our show, that might not be the case, I'm very aware of the larger context of the images that are being portrayed and the way we're being portrayed in general on television.
I was watching a video interview of you where you're at the dinner table.
Oh, where I'm at the dinner table?
Yeah.
Okay. So when I was young, I was like this, but I didn't quite know how to wield it. It was just annoying. It was just really annoying. And, right, Rhonda? Yeah, and I also really liked to mess with her, with Rhonda, my older sister. There's five of us. Rhonda, Tracy, Chudney, and then Ross and Evan. So at the dinner table, I would like, sometimes you really hyper, like really happy. So sometimes, because it was annoying, my mom would say, why don't you just go outside and get the Wiggles out? And we had glass doors to the dining table. And so I would be like outside the door, like bouncing around and trying to make Rhonda laugh and like trying to make Chudney spit her food out or whatever it was, like bouncing around. And then I would come back in and I would sit down and my mom would be like, did you get them all out? And I'd be like, I don't think so. And I'd like have to go back out and get more out and then come back. Yeah. My grandma called it like the 8-year-old giggles, the 10-year-old, like it just kept going. And then it's clearly my career now.
But what I love about that story is it shows a real effort on your mother's part, too. No, I'm going something
to make
with
sense.
It. But to encourage who you were and to not, you know, force you to be someone that you just weren't naturally.
I think you can see my mom's parenting style mm-hmm. in all of her children because mm-hmm. you can tell we were all raised by the same lady, but we're all so different. And I think from the way she parented and also who she is as a person, you know, the courage to be who you are is a part of the messaging that I got. And I have to be honest, I can't help it. I've tried to be so many other people. It just doesn't work.
Like, it just makes me feel bad and, like, ashamed. And, like, I am not everybody's cup of tea. I'm just not. And that's really, I've had to learn that that's okay. Because, you know, as women and culturally, we are taught, like, you want people to like you. Like, and you want to try and fit in. And you want to try and be the should, like, who you think you should be. I've tried to make my lips smaller, my hair smaller, my personality smaller. I think all that is you know, I feel like I push up against all of those sort of cultural norms and all that with a sense of curiosity and like, but why? But why? Really? And with that comes a lot of grief and a lot of shame and stuff that you got to wade through when you look at the reality of what that leaves you as a human when you're on a path that is not the one that's advertised. I don't know. It can't be an accident that I'm here. I feel like I wake up every day, as do most people, trying to do my best. You know, I don't wake up and think, I'm going to f*** up today. That's what I'm going to do. Just see what happens. No, you wake up and you try and do your best in the time and the hours that you're given, which never seems to be enough. And then you say sorry where you can.
This was just wonderful. And we, of course, at The New Yorker, really, really, really appreciate you coming to the festival, Tracy.
This was amazing. Very exciting. Thank you. Thank you guys for coming. Thank you. Thank you.
Tracy Ellis Ross, co-star of Black-ish on ABC.
WNYC Studios is supported by W.W. Norton & Company, publishers of The Road to Freedom, Economics and the Good Society, by Nobel Prize-winning economist Joseph E. Stiglitz. The Road to Freedom, essential reading for those committed to the American ideal of an economic and political system that delivers well-being, opportunity, and meaningful freedoms for all. The Road to Freedom, available now wherever books are sold.